God, that everyone has ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, and that there's a willingness, Heavenly Father, to shift, change, to be open, to move to where you would have us to be, Father. And we just want to bring you glory. And I pray not for our congregation alone, but I pray for every church here in Corona, dear Lord God, that you're pouring your Spirit out today. Bless the pastors, bless the administrators, bless the members, Heavenly Father. And in Jesus' name, I believe Corona is saved. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And my intent is that the same tenacity, intention, the same zeal that Jackie and I do missions is to really do the same here within our local community. Amen. Amen. Same passion. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
Okay, today is part three of the series All In. What we've been looking at is the 40 days that Jesus was here after he had died, resurrected again. He hung out on earth for 40 days. After the 40 days, he told the disciples, go and 120, go to Jerusalem, wait. There were 10 more days. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Don't do any ministry until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you today the first church and how they behaved, how they were structured. And so hopefully you'll have a better understanding of how we are structured here at New Day. You'll better understand my heart and my intention as your pastor. Amen. So our foundational text is Acts 1:8, and it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When will they receive power? When the Holy Spirit comes, meaning he had not come upon them yet. Watch this. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. That's something we don't really do. And I know we've made the mistake that you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get excited because you speak in tongues. And you think, hey, I'm like a super Christian now. The purpose of the Spirit is so that you will be a witness. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, that's the local town. In Judea, they began to spread out even more. In Samaria, now in Samaria, there were people that were mixed with Jewish heritage and the other nations. They were a different ethnicity, okay? Now we get into what we call cross-cultural missions. Too many times we want to be with people like us, okay? God is not about that. Got it? I understand your preferences. You know, a minute ago we had the hip-hop music, and I got a lot of white pastor friends that they would not have played that song in a white church today. And a lot of songs that they play, we wouldn't play either. I understand your musical worship preference. I get that. But here's the deal. God loves everyone. You got to remember that, okay? Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so when you guys that are flying with me to South Africa, that first leg is to London, and we got a four-hour layover. That first leg is a 12-hour flight. And you're going to get to London, and you're going to be rubbing like this. Yeah, that's a long time to sit. You're going to walk around. And I see people, because I be doing it too. You be trying to work it out. That's a long. You see people getting off the plane. You'll see. We walk around and everybody's going to be amazed at the London airport how expensive the euro is versus the dollar. What do you mean $7 for some coffee? This ain't Starbucks? Okay. And then we're going to get on the plane and do another 12 hours to Johannesburg. Yeah. And so that is to the ends of earth. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. But on your handout, Jesus' intention is for us to tell others about him. And we need to do a much better job. Even as a church, we need to let our light shine. If I'm not mistaken, at the end of the Princeton, the American lady wedding, they were saying, I heard right at the end, I watched a little clip. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Didn't I hear that?
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, okay, so we need to be about that, okay? And we can't let the prince and help me, Jesus. Megan, I'll do us. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not a competition, okay? So I want to walk you through three passages, okay? And this is what happened, and I want to walk you through this so you can better understand. If you want to understand the purpose of a thing, go back and see what the manufacturer intended, okay? If you really want to, so we're going to go back to the beginning. This is the first church. I want you to see that the first church was all in. We looked at Matthias, remember? He was with the disciples the whole time. Nobody ever mentioned his name. And all of a sudden, after following Jesus from the start, from the time Jesus was baptized, all the way to the time he was taken up to heaven, they needed somebody to replace Judas, so they chose this guy, Matthias. He was all in, even though he wasn't recognized, like a lot of you guys are not recognized. You know, and something I'm going to be meeting with the praise team next Thursday, because now we have so many members, we've broken them up. And my desire is now, okay, you got to be all in. You kids can't show up on a Sunday, you singing. Now, I'm going to talk. We'll see. Nothing's happened. Well, I'm just going to make sure. Because this is my job as a shepherd, to make sure. The goal here at New Day is for everybody to serve once a month. So the other three Sundays that you can come and just sit and receive. Amen? 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 So 80%, we want 80% of the people here at New Day serving. Most churches is like 15-20%. We need to shift that, okay? So let's jump in here. On the day of Pentecost, verse 1, Acts 2, 1, verse 8, 1 through 18. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Okay, this was 120 people. 10 days prior, Jesus had ascended to heaven. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. They're sitting there waiting. If you guys are to go with us to Israel, you're going to get a chance to go to that room and see, and you just imagine what that looked like. Verse 3, then what looked like, it didn't say it was, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Verse 4, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this means they weren't filled before. Got it? Now, this summer, I'm having a class on the Holy Spirit, and we're really going to break this down, okay? And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Verse 5, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Now, let me help you. So when Jesus died, the crucifixion, he was on the cross, okay? That was what was known as Passover. Now, in the book of Exodus, when this was hundreds of years before Jesus, and God raised up Moses, the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, and God was going to release them. Now, what God did told Moses to do is make sure everyone that's Jewish takes some blood of a lamb and put it on your doorpost over your house. And the angel of death would pass over your house. Okay? And that blood, the same blood here, blood of the lamb, represents Jesus. So now here is Jesus, okay, outside dying, okay, and inside Jerusalem, theologians believe there were between 250 and 300,000 people in Jerusalem at that time. So they would leave the surrounding countries where they've been dispersed over the years and come back for that special celebration. And so this is what we have here in verse 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Verse 6, watch this. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. Watch this. How can this be, they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. Which is a good ways, an hour and something, about 2 hours away from, by car, away from Jerusalem, okay? And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya, that's northern Africa, around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and those that had converted to Judaism. Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking, watch this, they heard them in tongues, but this is what the Holy Spirit, now here's the thing too, and you're going to learn this about the whole tongue thing, because often everybody looks at this one and they get hung up on this, okay, and I'm going to teach you something later on about it, okay? But the people that were here, watch this. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. So they were speaking in tongues, but what the hearers were, they were praising God. The wonderful things God has done. As the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 12, they stood there amazed and perplexed. You think about it, if you saw this. Okay, this dude is from Galilee, but he's talking in Libyanese right now, if you would, from Libya, okay? Like, how is this possible? Verse 13, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, and people would do this. They're just drunk, that's all. Now, you need to think about this, and we got to be careful as people, because this is what we do. We contrast everything we see that we're not familiar with based on what we know. That's arrogant. What makes you think you're the sum total of all knowledge? And I noticed something, even like during a city council meeting, everybody comes up and 8 days, you need to be doing this. And that night, it was ugly because they was voting on the immigration thing. And that's why the place was so packed. And that's why Randy Fox was making a joke about they're all here for you. And they weren't here for me. They were all here to complain about it. And no one asked a question. Everyone got up and had something to say. And if you don't ask questions, growth stops. So, because all you know is all you know. And if you don't get some outside input, guess what? Stagnation happens. But then here's this situation. They see people speaking. You default to what you're familiar with. I hear them. They got to be drunk. How could a drunk person speak another language clearly reflecting the things of God? This is a trip. And I try to make sure that when people are Jackie, my wife's in the children's today. She has the little ones. But here's the thing. I learned this. I just try my best to listen. Because there are times she says something to me, I don't know what Jackie's talking about. I'm like, what do you mean? Okay, babe, what I heard you say was that this and that. No, Tony. She get all frustrated. I'm thinking, you think you frustrated? How you think I feel? But, you know, I really just try to press in and listen. And God bless me. Even sometimes I'll be like, Heavenly Father, help me get where she coming from. You know, she's emotional and she feels and she, and I'm working on feeling. but we have to be careful not to make judgment based on what we think. Okay, you get it. 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. Listen, there it is. Listen carefully. All of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Now he's going to school them that this was written in the Bible. Now it's funny, all these people know to come to Jerusalem for the Passover, but they still don't know Bible. A lot of us, we know tradition. Now, Pastor Priest, today is first Sunday. We're going to wear all white. Put our gloves on. When my wife and I first were telling people we were going to start a church, one of my relatives said, oh, you get to wear hats now, Jackie. Where's that in the Bible? And see, we don't. Now, here's the thing, too. I'm not mad at them because, now think about it. They didn't have the New Testament at this point. All they had was Old Testament. You try preaching Jesus out the Old Testament. See, if we want to talk about Jesus now, what we say, for God so loved the world, that's New Testament. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's New Testament. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that's New Testament. If you're really bad, preach Jesus out the Old Testament. And this is what Peter was doing here. And verse 17, in the last days, God says, and days, that's a long time, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. That includes me. That includes Tony Dunn. Got it? I'm part of all people. You're part of all people. But I don't need that Holy Spirit. Oh, really? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, that went out with the apostles. Yeah. Okay. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And this is what Peter gets up and begins to explain to them. And drop down to verse 37. And because Peter continues to quote scripture, okay, because of time, let's go to verse 37. Peter's words pierce their hearts. And that's what my prayer is all the time, that your heart is open. Because many times you'll come in, like, okay, the dancers could have thrown some of you. And all of a sudden, you just go into full-blown resistance. And now, the night before, you was praying, Lord, I need a breakthrough, I need deliverance. And he gave me a passage I even got to yet. And God knows it's your time of deliverance. And you see these dancers, and all of a sudden, you just shut down. Why are they dancing in a church? That means you haven't been reading Psalms. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? I love that. See, they're asking questions. Now I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to get better. 38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins. The first, you got to repent of your sins. And many of us, we justify our sins. And we had a good man's fellowship yesterday. And we justify our sins. And we justify it with, well, the Lord knows my heart. Lady told me one time, well, Pastor, the devil just got in. And, you know, sister, the devil didn't get in. You opened up the door. Told him, come on in. You took his shoes off, put some slippers on him. You went to the kitchen, got him some lemonade. The devil got in. You need to repent of your sins. And watch this. The next one is turn to God. I mean, turn away from whatever you were doing before. And I had to learn a way. I had to learn to turn away from my attitude. I had attitude on top of attitude. And all that was because my daddy did some things and didn't do some things. I'm 20-some years old, still mad at my daddy from when I was 14. Grow up, Tony. Turn to God. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show. So the purpose of baptism is to show. What you want to show? It's just an outward reflection of an inward conviction to show that you have received forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39, this promise, that's the Holy Spirit, is to you, watch this, the Holy Spirit is for you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, these are non-Jewish people, all who have been called by the Lord our God. So people say, well, what's that one unforgivable sin? That's when you resist the Holy Spirit. God is calling you to get into resistance. If you're saying no to God, what are you saying yes to? We're only going to be on this earth a short time. And I ain't messing up. What man has taught me to believe that's pleasurable and fun and exciting and trying to convince me I can't live without, that's from the enemy. One more time, 39. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles who have been called by the Lord our God. That's everybody, to our children. And that's generational. If you read it in Greek, it's for generation to generation. And here we are now. Now look at verse 40, please. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Say a long time. So don't worry about me and my 30 minutes. Hallelujah. One of my pastor friends, a local guy, once a week, he'd been sending, you know, through Facebook Messenger, a clip. And I don't know, my thing is I always go and put the little cursor over there, see how long is this? And some of them brothers, you start to get up to like 45, I got other stuff to do. Okay. Truth. Okay. Then Peter continued preaching, watch this, for a long time. Strongly urging all his listeners, you got to listen, save yourselves from this crooked generation. See, a lot of times we get so, and especially you guys that like, you know, you're people-oriented and you like, you know, you like being part of what's happening and oh, it's happening over here, party over here. You know, you need to save yourself. You get convinced that you got to be part of this and party. Leave that. Leave him alone. But see, that part of you that gets your validation, gets your affirmation, your value from the thoughts of others, that you guys are really the ones got to be careful of that. And the Bible says, save yourselves. I pay attention to my friends. If you're not speaking, you know what the councilman told me? He said, you know what? I've been watching you. That was our first meeting together. Now, we've been in, you know, I get out in the city and I'm doing stuff and boom, you know, and all that kind of, you know, but yeah, I've been watching you. And I've noticed some things. So really, what are people noticing about you? Now, I need to be around people that's going to edify me, grow me, help me move in a purpose. You know, if you talking what happened, you know, like a lot of those, yeah, back in the day, I'm finished with back in the day. Get behind me, Satan. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Let stuff go. And most of the stuff they bring up was stuff that wasn't no good. No, God has forgiven me for that. No, I don't need to focus on that. No, I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward, trusting God. And so I need to surround myself with people that are like-minded. Show me your five closest friends and I'll show you your future. And often, that's in contradiction to what you say you want. And you got to stop for a minute. What's more important to you? So position yourself for great things. And young people, most of them left, but whoever's here, you know what? Live righteous and holy. Please. Save yourself a whole lot of issues. Now let's get into this church. The church was all in. Here we go. Verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. Say that day. And one day, about 3,000 people joined the church. Now, I need you to picture this for a moment. Everybody get excited. But wait, you have 120, and all of a sudden, you grow to 3,000. Have you ever stopped to think? How did they manage their growth? How did they structure the church? I got another one. How did they finance the church? I was in a church once, and the sound system was just, you know, and somebody said something. And I'm thinking, did you even give any money towards the new sound system? Pastor's talking about 10%. What would happen if everybody gave 10%? We'd have this building in a heartbeat. But we'll come and we'll complain. And some of us, like I mentioned earlier, about those that are naturally, you know, you're kind of concerned about what people think. There's another group. You walk in and immediately you see negative. You walk in, oh, that's wrong, that's out of order, that's out of order. You need to work on you. You really do. No, that's not a criticism. I want you to check yourself because you're generally the person that don't have that many friends. Okay. And so I suggest when you walk into a situation, how can I help? How can I add value? Where can I be of service? Where can I contribute? It's a better attitude to have because everything has something wrong. It does. How do they teach and disciple the people? You go from 120 to 3,000. How does that happen? Let's look at verse 42. And we're going to learn some more about the people, and we're going to close with this. Verse 42 to 47. Now, verse 42 says, all the believers devoted themselves. Devoted themselves. What have you devoted yourself to? Now, this is, I just want you to take a moment. There's no criticism, no condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us there's no condemnation. I'm not a condemning guy. I do speak directly, okay? And that's for clarity, okay? My wife says sometimes you're too direct, okay? Pray for a brother, okay? I'm working on that. But I just want you to, let's look within and say, you know, what are you devoted to? Devoted to. Now, most mothers, your number one devotion is your children. That's cool. You should nurture them. But have they become idols? Let it sink in. They devoted themselves. What did these believers devote themselves to? And devotion means all in. What are you all in about? Well, let's see what this first church was all in. Number one, to the apostles' teaching. We live in a, and you say, well, Pastor, yes, there are still apostles. I believe they still exist. And I know people I believe have an apostolic anointing. I don't believe I'm an apostle, but I believe I have an apostolic anointing. An apostle generally, modern day apostle, I mean, if we had to do a parallel to help you, it would be like an entrepreneur. Somebody to start something. And generally, you know, a lot of people get something started, and they just always looking for something new. Elder Kelvin always reminds me, Pastor, we can do everything that's in your heart. We just can't do it all at the same time. And I never said it to you, but in my mind, I'm thinking, y'all can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. At the same time. No, I love my team. I really do. They will correct the brother. I'm telling you. They're like, hey, okay. I remember one time you said Monique was in a finance team meeting, and I told him something I was going to do, and Monique said, you know, you said that last time. You know? So, but we need feedback, and I love the directness. It really helps us as a church. All the believers devoted themselves, one, to the apostles' teaching. How devoted are you to the word? One of the things we do here is you can immediately go online. After just a few minutes after service, they upload it. You can go and listen to it again. You can. And I never told you guys you got to only listen to me. You know, a couple of our members, they listen to Tony Evans out of Dallas. And I forgot he's 107.9 or 99.5. Yeah. And that's cool. He's on in the mornings. He's a great man of God out of Dallas. Listen to him. You want to spend time listening to the word. Faith comes by and hearing by the. Exactly. Get into the word. And you show, hey, and I'm saying this publicly. Steve Harvey is funny. But he'll tell you, I'm a cussing Christian. Now, you got some scriptures you need to employ, my man. And so if y'all spending more time with all, and I get to comedy and all that, and you can't watch nothing without, because I understand that, okay? I get that. But how much time are you spending getting the word in you? Devote yourself to the word of God. Number two, into fellowship. Some of y'all are like, okay. Fellowship is important. That's why we have the men's fellowship. So why we have the girlfriends. It's for a reason. Number three, here we go. Into sharing in meals. That's including the Lord's Supper. We need to come together and break bread. And remember, this, we look at it with a Western mindset. This is an Eastern mentality that they have. This is Eastern culture. And I had to really learn this even in South Africa. You know, I come in ready to talk and ready to do business. Let's plan this next day when I'm coming back and all this. And they're like, hey, let's eat. Hang in line. And everywhere we go, we have food. And the fourth thing they devoted themselves to is prayer. You know, the prayer meetings are the least attended meetings within the Western culture. Nobody comes out to pray, but everybody wants prayer. Let me agree, 43. A deep sense of awe came over them all. In fact, you guys were singing a song today, Pastor Todd, Awestruck Wonder. And I thought about this here. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I think if we really had more devotion and reverence for God, we would see more miracles here. I have seen more of the miraculous in Africa where they're dirt poor and down in Brazil than I have here. Verse 45. They so watch this, okay? And I'm sorry. Wait. 44. And all the believers met together in one place, say one place, and they shared everything they had. That's called a spirit of generosity. We got this new thing. In fact, I'm doing a series called WIFM, W-I-I-F-M, What's in it for me? We come to church. Oh, that ain't my kind of music. He talks too fast. One guy told me, you talk too much about yourself. I mean, you just this. This ain't my kind of place, or this ain't, okay, but what are you bringing? They shared everything. Shared the gift, talents, and their finances. Look at 45. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. We're creating a strategic plan to put together to present to you guys to purchase a building. I'm meeting with a couple of our business leaders here at New Day. And I got some of my heart with the way Jack and I this season. We got a couple of pieces of property. And one of them, I was thinking, in order to do what we need to do, we might have to sell one. The pastor, you're really devoted. Well, that's what they said right here. And so if you think if I sell this, I'm going to lose, wrong mentality. I'm sowing. 46, they worship together at the temple each day. Y'all struggle with just Sunday mornings? We're talking about devoted, seriously. What if y'all had to come to church every morning before you went to work? And they didn't have, you know, them nice Chryslers and Mercedes and some of y'all got them electric vehicles, hybrids and all that. They had Mutt and Jeff walking. maybe somebody had a donkey. But they went to temple each day. Then they met in the homes for the Lord's Supper. And if I told some of you guys have communion in your home, it's like, that is in the Bible. And shared their meals with great joy and generosity. We as a church, we have to become more generous. The missionary from India, he God bless him. Biola University allowed him to use their library. He got a grant to get his PhD. He's here. It just everything fell into place. He was so excited, and he's trying to do his work on a laptop with cracked screens. Now, me and Jackie sitting there eating with them. They order one salad, split it, and they only wanted water. I'm like, y'all can eat? I look at this. I'm like, you trying to do what? I said, sir, we can get you a laptop. And then I'll send you what I want. And he sends me something, this low-end laptop. And I'm like, no. And I showed to Lavelle and Brian because they know computer stuff. And I'm like, no, we're going to hook the brother up. Amen. We got to be generous here. Amen? No. Verse 47, all the while, watch this, they're meeting together, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The Lord added because they had a heart for one another. We got to be all in as a church. We got to be all in as a church. This is the day of Pentecost. A lot of churches are preaching about the tongues and the Holy Spirit. I hear sound and coming. It's like a mighty rushing wind. Do you hear the sound? I hear the sound. And I get that. That's cool. That's what I grew up with. Hallelujah. You get the sound. But are you a witness? Can we say that we're all in as a church? This week, I want you to tell people. I want you to find somebody. And all you got to do is say, hey, Sunday, come to my church right there in Lincoln, Ontario. You just put out there, let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Some of you are trying so hard not to be rejected. Reframe that. Here's a chance for you to be a blessing and add value to someone's life. Amen? Bow your heads, please. God in heaven, we thank you for your word. And my prayer, Heavenly Father, for our church is that we are all in, that we are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Father, that our desire.